Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So it's that time again where we have our regular feature on a Monday. It's called Impact, where we speak to organizations or people you may know or may not know who are doing amazing, amazing things. And today we have in-studio founder and managing partner Koketso Moseneke of an organization called Supreme Cadets Institute. Koketso, thank you for coming through. Hello and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm truly, truly grateful to be here, Pimelo.
SCI.
Yes.
Let's talk about its genesis.
Yeah. So around 2014, my late sister-in-law, Meriki, and I, and my husband, my late husband, thought about, at the time, the scourge of child pregnancies. Mm. You know, little girls of 10, 11, 12 were falling pregnant. Mm. And we thought we should put together a program that rehabilitates them, gives them hope. Children must go back to school. We did that for about a year, 2 years. And I said, we're missing something here. Mm. You know, by the time they are pregnant, it's
too late, almost.
It is so late. Mm. And my feeling at the time was, if we can create a program for children in primary school, so that when they get to high school, they have a place they belong to. Mm. And as a result, we started recruiting children from grade 6. Mm. And they go to grade 7 in the primary school. And remember, primary schools are very protected. Yeah. They are a safe space. And then they go into the wilderness of high school, grade 8 onwards. Yeah. Then our children stay with us. And throughout, we held them throughout until they get to matric. Wonderful thing is that now some of them have come back to be what we call rangers, and I'll tell you what the rangers are. And this program, when we started, we tried to partner with existing programs. Mm. We tried to partner with the Girl Guides. We tried to partner with the Scouts. And I was just not gelling in that space. Mm. And I remember my husband saying to me, you know, if you really want to change the menu of the dinner, you're going to have to cook your
yourself.
Own.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and you're going to have to invite people to your table.
Mm.
So that's how we came up with the Supreme Cadets Institute. Mm. We made the rules. We decided how we are going to run it with the children.
Yeah.
You know, Pimelo, the need in our schools is huge.
Mm.
And I'm sure you'll know that. And I'm talking from primary school. Mm. I wish we could start the Supreme Cadets from grade 1, you know, from preschool, you know.
Carry
them all the way. Teach the children the pledge. Teach them how to look after themselves. Mm. Teach them discipline.
Mm.
And I'm talking about children who live on the periphery of Attridgeville.
Yeah.
I'm talking in informal settlements, bright children.
Mm.
80% of our children live in informal settlements.
Mm.
I was telling somebody who wanted their nephew to join us, the nephew stays in Kayalami Estates, and I was explaining in the best way possible to say, it's not that class.
Mm.
You know, our children... burgers that they have on a Saturday are almost like a privilege.
Gold, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we are very strict about how we serve our children. So our children spend Saturday from 7 o'clock until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They go through tutoring of the week work, so we pay tutors.
Mm-hmm.
And they are fed breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack. They participate in sport, in debate. In fact, this past weekend, we had SADAG, the South African Depression Association, come and speak to our children about mental health. And these little ones, the 120 that we have now, are looked after by who we call rangers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rangers are the previously unemployed young people of Attridgeville.
Mm.
And they come, and through the work that they do with the little ones, logistics planning, program planning. They learn vocational skills. Mm. And in fact, now we have a cohort of what we call preceding rangers, those that have been trained through our program and were found attractive by the formal market. It is something that wakes me up in the morning. Mm. It is something that I feel extremely strongly about. Those children are mine. And a lot of those children have problems bigger than what we think. So we do counseling.
Yeah.
We do family interventions. There are some of our children, we have to do monthly toiletry packs. Mm. We have food parcels for other of the families. Now, the last time I spoke to you, I was almost in tears because I had said to you, this is the last year of SCI. I can't afford it anymore. Mm. Nobody wants to listen. We've been at this for 10 years,
yeah,
but corporate South Africa is not finding us attractive. We have used our own funds. Mm. I don't earn from it. I'm not even a signatory on the bank. We run our things, you know, so well. We have audited financials for everything, but people are just not interested. I think a lot of companies are just donor fatigued. They've just had it.
But you've been at it for 10 years.
I know.
Always been donor fatigued?
I don't know. But they are. Anyway, that I choose. For me, if I think about it differently, I think it will depress me. Mm. So I just choose to say they are donor fatigued. So I think I spoke to you at the beginning, towards the end of Jan.
Yes.
On the 1st of February, I met with the parents, over 100 of them, and I said to them, this is the last year I'm doing this. I am financially fatigued. Mm. You know, I can't do this anymore. You must remember, we spend 1,000 rand per child per month. Mm. This is on transport, on food, on tutoring, on administration, on uniform, on all the things that we do for the kids. And the parents pay 200 rand per annum. Mm. And for some parents, it's still difficult.
It's too much. Yeah.
It's still difficult. So I said that to you, but I think the gods
were listening.
Were listening. Good. My husband especially, my late husband especially, because I got a call from a friend who is head of Pareto, Malusi Kikana, and said, I've got people who want to speak to you. And remember, I had my parents' meeting on the 1st.
Yes.
This happens on Tuesday, the 11th. And I go to Pareto. I meet two wonderful gentlemen, Mr. Dan Mushito and Mr. Ruben Mohano. And they had read all our documents, which doesn't normally happen when you go and pitch.
Yeah,
you know,
they
still
just
need
put
to
it
say,
aside.
Yeah, they still, you, yeah. What do you
no,
do?
They just
you know? But they said to us, we're going to partner with you.
Oh.
I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I was going to weep.
Yeah,
you know, they are not saying we are giving you a small amount of money. Mm. They looked at my budget, at what we spend it on, and it's almost half of the budget. And for me, it was just so huge. Mm. Pareto, they own their malls, Menlyn. Mm. They own. I will tell you the other ones that they own Pavilion, and they said we will partner.
Hmm.
So they are doing that. One of the other things that I've always wanted to do was to, which we started last year, was to revamp toilets.
Hmm.
In our schools, it is a sad, sad state of affairs. I went with my brother-in-law to a school named after his parents, SK Musaneke, in Lotus. When we went there, we were with friends of SK. And the reason we went was to see whether we can build a library for the school. And we walked past the toilets, and he said, the children's human rights, the dignity of these children.
That story is so familiar.
Yes.
Where you go in hoping, thinking you're doing, you know, the Lord's work, and you realize you don't even have the basics right.
Let me tell you
it's
something.
It's so common.
Yeah. So we formed Friends of SK. There was a couple, 40 and his wife, and we had Khanakho's wife who joined us, and a group of us put money together and we revamped the toilets. Zibu Siso. Mm. And now I thought, even as I'm ending, I'm going to revamp the toilets at Makato. Mm. And on Tuesday we had an award ceremony, and the Pareto gentlemen came, and I went to show them the toilets at Makato. It was sad, Pimelo. Mm. You know, the first thing that one of them said is, "You should have given us masks before we come in here." And I could understand.
Yeah,
the stench.
And that's what children have to go to school.
As we were standing there, there were little ones, the great ones and the great twos, who were walking into that stench.
And they're so used to it.
So this wonderful company has said to me, "Look, we can partner with you to revamp the toilets."
Oh.
You choose. You choose 10 schools you want to work with, and we have toilets that we have removed from our other malls and so on, and we will donate them. It has been like the gods have finally heard me. So I am absolutely excited. Our young, you know, our graduates who run the program for us for the little ones also participate in their own growth. A friend of mine, Andiswale Fakane, has launched Future for Our Children, Future for Our Youth. And our children were part of the first cohort that went there, because they deal with a lot. You know, I think to myself, when I do, when I sit and do counseling, it takes so much from you.
Yep.
Now the little ones, the younger ones, I call them little, but the younger ones, now they are in their 20s and so on. So they go there for also for them to be to be revived and so on. So that's where I am. I'm really excited. We are still around for a little while.
I'm so happy because, you know, you must know what it must be like for a child who comes from those circumstances to feel seen.
Yes. And
the difference that it makes. And you probably have stories upon stories.
Many. Yeah. Many. I mean, we have a child that started with us in grade 10, Angelica. Mm. She completed her matric as a cadet. Mm-hmm. She went to varsity and completed her BCom. Mm-hmm. She's now doing her honors to become a CA. Mm. And now she is working as a ranger at our offices in Attridgeville. And all of them are graduates, all our seven rangers. It is just such a beautiful thing to see, but you should see the little ones that stand up and give a speech, right? Who could hardly speak when they came? And the children that you are sure you are beautiful. Mm. Today we had a discussion around counseling that we need to do, because one of our children feels they have to wear a beanie because they have a big forehead and she's been bullied. And my question to the mom is, what have you said to your child?
Wena.
Before we go to the school and why the child needs to put on a head, what have you said to your child that has made her believe she is not beautiful? And if you think about it, Pimelo, it's not only in our African society. Society generally can be very careless with the words that we use.
You know, it lands differently.
It lands. And it sits.
To the person who we are saying this to, and while we laugh.
Yeah. Wena obile tlhogo e kima.
Yeah. And it's normal.
It's normal. Wena ka nkwe plaatsi. Wena ka milomo e. So we say that to the children, right? Mm. And these children grow up with that. So she's now even shy to go to school because, and she puts on a beanie. And we have to go there and counsel her and remind her of her beauty. So we talk about those kind of issues. Of course, there are family issues where parents, where marriages don't work or parents pass away, children go through all kinds of depression. And we do that kind of a thing. But
sometimes the work can be so overwhelming.
Yes, it can.
Because the mission is to do this, yes. And then, of course, society shows you all the other ills.
Yes.
In this child's life.
Yes. Yes.
And I want to ask you from your own personal experience, how do you know where the limits are?
Yeah. In fact, I'm glad you asked me that. I have learned to know that I can't resolve it
everything.
All. I have learned. Mm. So one of the things we say to our girl children is that you must defend your purity, your physical purity. And we are saying to the children, do not fall pregnant. Do not get involved in sex. Not what you don't know what it is, right? Mm. And we've had two or three of our girls fall pregnant. Mm. And the worst moment has been for me to find the courage to let them leave. Mm. Now, it sounds like abandonment. Mm. 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 But we have a pledge. Mm. We say to the children, I, as a cadet, pledge to physical purity. If I allow the child to stay and there are 120 other children there, I am making it okay. I am saying, we will forgive you for this. It must be unforgivable. If you become a cadet, there are certain things you can do. There are certain things that you most certainly cannot do. The drugs, theft, disrespect. Mm. So we've had children, unfortunately, that we have taken through the disciplinary hearings. Mm. We have a youth leadership of grade sixes to matrix. We call them the Cadet Leadership Representative Council. Mm. They do
the disciplinary
hearings, and we come in with a final say as to whether this one stays or they don't. So
that's a representative of what the real world will look like.
Should look
because
like.
Yeah. Should they get into trouble,
yes.
They are going to have to face these consequences.
Absolutely.
And it may be a court of law.
Yes.
So this is, you know, you are preparing them for what is likely to happen.
Absolutely. And none of them are too holy.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whose child you are. Mm. We've had parents that have come and said, I can't discipline my child.
Yo.
And I would say to them, we are not a reform school.
Mm.
We're not a reform school. You know,
that's not our job.
No, you can take your child to a reform school. This is what we are going to do. We're going to help each other bring our children up
together.
Mm. Together.
You don't leave your responsibility
to No, we don't. So we've had along the way children that we have had to exclude, but we've also had children that have just blossomed, I mean, most of our children, for example, are top achievers in their schools. Mm. You should see them with the little blazers, excellence blazers and so on. So this is something, Pimelo, that wakes me up in the morning, that makes life bearable after, what I have gone through. They, other than my children, gave me a reason to wake up.
Mm.
So I am truly grateful that now we have funding partners.
It's incredible.
And I'm hoping we can get more.
It's incredible. And may it long last because the work, as you said,
is a lot.
It begins with this and then and you realize how it needs to expand and so on.
Yes.
But the most precious for me must be, even for you, is when they have that big party.
Oh, yeah.
And they all dress up in their gowns.
Yes, the graduation.
That must be.
We call it the Achievers Walk.
That must be the most beautiful. Just for them, but for the community.
But exactly. Pimelo, we have an Achievers Walk around June, Youth Month, where we invite locals who have either graduated or who have, it's not just for graduates.
Yes.
So who have achieved? We have nurses, we have policemen, we have whoever has achieved. Some people have achieved just having children and bringing them up properly. Some people have achieved in church.
Yes.
And then we take this 3-kilometer walk. Mm. It is a festival. I mean, we have trumpets from
beautiful people.
It is of beautiful, happy people. Our children do their drum majorettes, and we have music blaring. And then, of course, we have the trumpets. And this year, we are going to have the motorbikes. And it is a festival of
celebrating
achievement, but not only that, saying to kids, you can be.
Yeah.
It is absolutely possible. Last year, we had made hats, graduation hats with colors, and we said to them, what do you want to be? And we had it in different colors. We'll have a different theme every year. But that is for the children. And when I said to them, this is my last year, this is the first question was, are we still going to have the walk?
Take that away from them.
No, I can't take that away from them. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But it is really, I want to also say, Pamelo, there are lots of people who do a lot.
Yes.
You know, there are lots and lots of people who do a lot of work. I told you about the work that is done by Andy Swa for the future of our youth. Our children, our cadets go to a discipline camp. It is done by a company called, I think it's called Sunrise. It is tough. They wear overalls. They go through mud. They swing over over logs. They wake up. They cook for themselves. They wash up for themselves. You know, when they came back and I saw their videos, I wondered whether I shouldn't have seen the videos before.
You decided.
But when we sat with them and they were giving us feedback of what happened when they were there, it was just amazing, the growth that happened. And it also just shows how we are quick to protect our children from life. But we sat there and listened to, some of them even cried. It was so tough, but I knew I had to do it. I knew because so-and-so was doing it. I knew it was my responsibility. These were words from our little people. So yes, we're looking forward to the walk in June. And
you know, you speak of you doing this, and this is being the reason for you to get up.
Yes.
But what do they tell you this has done for them?
Oh yes, yes. So when they do stand up and they talk about, and I wish I had thought of bringing one or two of them, who say, I could hardly speak when I came here, and now I am in the debate team, for example. Or who say, we have a child, I can't mention her name, but
yes, that's fine.
This child is an illegal immigrant. Now, it breaks my heart. You know, I don't want to, I'm not a politician. I'm a social activist. If we can't stop them at the border gate, we better make sure that we look after them when they are here. And that's my, this child, the parents were illegal immigrants, but they were born here. And because the parents don't have documents, she doesn't have a document. She is flying at school. She is one of the top performers. And I will go to court for her. I mean, that's the kind of thing. But she now belongs. She looks at us, her mom, second mom. There are sisters in the Rangers and the other young, the CLCR, for example. So we create an environment for some children which is a safe environment. Some children are traumatized by family violence, and we find a way for these children to speak and to say. And sometimes we have to sit with mothers, woman to woman. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. Just now, we have two young men. Mm-hmm. They passed their matric. Mm-hmm. They applied for NSFAS. Mm-hmm. It was not approved. They went to varsity, one TOT, one at UJ. The two institutions allowed them to pass first year, second year, by third year. Understandably, they said,
money,
but now I enough.
We can't. Yeah.
Now, these children were brought up in an orphanage.
Yeah.
They came to the orphanage when they were 1 year, 6 months old.
Goodness.
At the age of 18, social services
it's enough. They can't
children
after.
Out
yeah.
of orphanages. 18. Sometimes these children don't know
what to do,
where to
where
go.
To
but
go.
You know what then happens? They go back to under the bridge.
Yes.
And they give birth to another child who then comes to the orphanage. But what we did for the two is that we got in touch with the institutions and paid the arrears and made sure that they registered this. But you should see their faces. You should see the promise, the hope. And I wish to thank NSFAS because when we did the inquiries, it was really just a matter of admin.
Small little glitch.
It was just, nobody said these are orphans
small,
from your home. It was
small
so
little
small.
Glitch.
But it is those kind of things.
And that's
yeah.
the thing. You catch them. What about those we don't catch?
But that's the thing.
Who seep through the cracks.
Yes. Yes. Pamela, we can only afford 100. We started at 40. They are now 120. It is like I said, financially exhausting. But there are, in this one school that we work with, 1,578 children. In the other one at SK, they've got 1,600 children. And we are talking about just 30 that belong to the academy and 30 on this side and then 60 in high school. I wish I could do for all, but I have to accept yeah. that you can only do so much.
You spoke of how sometimes there are just difficulties in the family.
Yes.
And that's where I think your work gets even more difficult.
Yes.
Because sometimes you know yeah. that the child is probably better off not in that home. And you would be accused perhaps of disrupting the family unit.
Yeah.
And you are now the problem.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
I'm not a social worker.
Yeah.
And I never claim to be.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of cases that we refer to the social workers. And fortunately, we sit in offices right next to the social workers. So, you know, there are people who are qualified for that to make those kind of decisions.
Yeah.
We take those cases and we refer them to social workers. We have had to refer some cases to the South African police services.
Mm.
We are not police.
Mm.
So we do what we can, but we understand that there are other people more qualified and
who have the authority.
And who have the authority to be able to make those kind of decisions, so we don't make those kind of decisions. We sit and intervene. And when our intervention fails in just talking to parents or talking to children, then it goes to social workers. Who are also overwhelmed, by the way.
I was going
themselves.
To say, I know someone who does something similar in Tlip Town.
Yes.
But couldn't carry on.
Yeah.
It was too much.
Yeah.
Witnessing.
Yes.
You know, you are doing your bit, but the difficulty of seeing how broken some of these children's homes are and what they have to go back to.
Yes.
Very, very hard.
What I find comfort in is what they look forward to coming to. You know, and we have seen it over the years. Pamelo, it's, you know, those kids who just look forward to the Saturday
weekend. Yeah.
Who look forward to the Saturday, and then what happens is that during the holidays we have what we call cadet week.
Yes.
So for the whole week they come, we do all the work that they've done for the term so that they can revise the term work and so on. But like I say, you know, there's a friend of ours called Lisiho. And Lisiho does this in Manzinville. Now sometimes I listen to Lesego and I want to weep because I think we need to share these stories for each of us to feel better because I think she deals with much more than I could ever, you know. She finds funding. She intervenes in homes. She intervenes at hospital level. Now, my younger sister is a doctor, so we have an in-house doctor, which is lovely. I wouldn't do this without our, you know, our patrons. We have Consilia Talano, who's really my sister-in-law, Teho's cousin, and she's a support structure when we do when we do counseling for interventions in families. I've got Jerita Mutsolokhani, who does our books, but is also a mother, a sister. And then I've got Imogen Muhwatle. So everything, no, I'm sorry. Imogen is now married. She is Mrs. Mate. Imo, Mrs. Mate. These things are very important. So we are part of the four patrons. And every time there's a need, we do family interventions during the week, on Saturdays, on Sundays. But I sit and listen to Lesego. Some days she's in a hospital because Mwanakhae o robegile, or Mwanakhae o, I haven't been to the hospital in the 10 years that we have operated, almost 10 years, it's 9 years as cadets and rangers. I don't remember being called to a hospital because Mwana o chile, because of the situation ya ko gae, or in cases where she has had to find accommodation for the children. So I've been, touch wood, spared some of the pain that people who do what we do go through. So there's a lot of pain. The home we work with, Usma Tlakalale Amogezu, where the two boys
come from,
Pimelo, they were part of the people who stipend stopped. I mean, social services just stopped.
Yes.
You know, it stopped them. She has 82 children in her home. I'm talking from little, few months old to older ones. And we have Memory
and
in Winterfeld.
And there are the people whose grant money has stopped coming because and we know about that social development problem from province, Gauteng province.
It is so sad. She was just saying to me the other day, she's so ashamed sometimes when she has to call me to say, Harina Lesoya means. Harina Lesoya means. Harina Buroto. Harina Mutoho. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking absolute basics. But our systems are not properly aligned, I think. Like I said, I'm not a politician. I'm not here to bash them. I'm just saying what is out there.
We just have to, you know, celebrate what we can.
Yes.
And this is that moment where there are hurdles and then you come out on the other end and you haven't done as much as you want to, but this is enough. This is enough.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
10 years is no joke.
It will be 10 years next year.
It's no joke.
So we march into the 10 years. Yes.
It takes a lot to sustain something as powerful as this for so long without any support. We thank you for what you're doing. It's amazing. It really is incredible. And I think the day people and these young women and men come and tell you what you've done for their lives, I think it'll be more than you can imagine. So thank you for your work.
Thank you, Pimelo, for seeing it and hearing it.
We'll be at the march.
I'm looking forward to that.
We'll be at the march in June.
I've been looking out for you.
Oh, thank you for coming through.
Thank you so much.
And our love to those young men and women.
Yes.
We'll be at the march in June.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Kokete Museneke is a founder and managing partner at Supreme Cadets Institute. And they're based in Atteridgeville in Pretoria. Look them up. Where can they find you?
We are on Facebook, we are on TikTok, We are on, what's the other one, X?
So yeah, all of them. Facebook, all of them. TikTok, yes, all of them.
Yes,
and
yes.
If you want to pledge, if you want to, you know, support yes. this wonderful organization, please get in touch with them. Otherwise, you can also get in touch with us and we will get you connected. Thanks, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.